Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled, The Last 6 Years, Not All Wanderers Are Lost, by Lama Kathy Wesley. 6 years ago this week, the Columbus KTC's temple was destroyed in an arson fire, and the KTC Sangha became nomads. Like our spiritual ancestors, the Tibetan people, we wandered and underwent trials and now stand at the threshold of a new journey. Lama Kathy will share stories from the last 6 years and the Dharma lessons we picked up along the way. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Lama Kathy Wesley coming to you on behalf of the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Tibetan Buddhist Meditation Center in Columbus, Ohio, for our weekly 11:30 a.m. Sunday Dharma Talk. It's been really great to think about all that has happened in the last 6 years, and so I thought it would be great to give a short talk on this. There we go. Okay, so those of you who are familiar with the Columbus KTC know that in the last few years, we have been, nomadically wandering. And the reason that we've been doing that is because on a Sunday, January 31st, 2016, there was an arson fire at our previous location at 231 South Grub Street in Columbus, Ohio. Early that morning in the post-midnight hours, a young person who was very troubled and very angry, he said that he was very angry and was really in the grip of different difficult problems. He set fires to the dumpsters in the neighborhood along our street. And one of the dumpsters happened to be at our center and happened to be pulled up next to our building. So of all of the fires that were set that morning, only ours resulted in a building fire. And by the time the fire department arrived, the fire had leapt up the sides of the building and touched the roof. And when they touched the roof, they burned through to the tar paper that was underneath the original roof, which had been placed in 1924, and then redone sometime later. But still, a lot of the leftover tar paper was there, and the entire roof went up, and then the roof collapsed into the shrine area. And so the building was a total loss. I, at that moment, was in Mexico. I had been invited to go there to teach the Dharma centers of His Holiness Karmapa and other Dharma centers in Mexico. I was in Jalapa at the time, and I got a message on my phone saying that the classes for that morning had been canceled because of a serious fire. And so I immediately got on the text message with Kim Miracle, the director of the center, and she told us that the building had burned and was burning, and that the fire had been put out, but that there was the building was a total loss. So it was quite upsetting, a very shocking moment for me and for everyone that morning when they opened their email to find out that there had been a fire at the center. And being in Mexico, there was very little I could do except to pray, which I did. And I think all of us everywhere who heard about this immediately fell into an attitude of prayer and started to pray for a positive outcome. Meanwhile, in Columbus, Kim was on the phone with Kempo Kartha Rinpoche, our teacher, and was telling him how sad she felt. And he said the very first piece of advice that he gave to us was given in that moment to her through his nephew Lama Karma Drodol, and he said that don't be sad. He said, don't be sad, rebuild. And so that was his first piece of advice to us, was don't be sad. He said, you know, these things happen. It's samsara. There is a lot of impermanence and interdependence in samsara. And so he said, this is not something that you can expect to, these are things that you can expect to happen there. And so even though we were taken aback by the whole situation, his immediate wish for us was to rebuild the center. And so in that week, and while I was struggling to get back from Mexico, I had some glitches getting back home, but managed to get home. But while I was on my way home, Kim and the entire board of the center worked very quickly with the city officials to arrange for the building to be torn down so that it would not be a public hazard. And that was arranged within the first few days. But the actual demolition of the building didn't happen until the following week, which meant that we had an opportunity, an unusual opportunity. And that opportunity was to meet with a lot of people who wanted to help us out, because instantly, pretty much instantly after the fire, I was contacted by email by the Interfaith Association of Central Ohio, a group that we had helped to create 10, 15 years previous. And they wanted to know if we would like to have a prayer service in our parking lot. And I said, absolutely. So several days after the fire, a group of us met together in our parking lot. There was about 150 people there. And the 150 people came from all walks of life. They came from every religion. And we had several people lead prayers that day, praying for goodness for our congregation and for the city and the world. And among the people at the event that day were Mayor Andrew Ginther of Columbus, as well as officials of the safety forces, the fire department, the police department, and so on. And so this was, what can I say? It was incredibly gratifying to know that we had that much help. We had that much help, and we had that much support from the local community. And it was at that prayer service that the rabbi came up from congregation Tiferet Israel, and he asked if we needed space and said that we should come visit. And in fact, Covenant Presbyterian Church had already responded so that we didn't have to miss any services. The only services we missed were the day of the fire. But the following Tuesday, Lama Tom Broadwater led a Chenrezig sadhana at the Covenant Presbyterian Church in one of their rooms in order to keep our schedule of prayers and practices going. And I've heard reports of that sadhana, and Lama Tom specifically asked for us to pray for the arsonist and to pray that he comes to peace and that all goes well. And it was a wonderful prayer that was repeated again and again. And later, when we got a chance to take our breath, it was we looked back and saw how amazing it was that so many groups came out to help us, because at that same time, the McConnell Arts Center in Worthington offered us some space. And so our very first Sunday after the fire was a completely packed house in the main art gallery at McConnell Arts in Worthington, where I gave a Dharma talk then about trying to keep positive in the midst of everything that happened. And so that's a little bit about what happened on the day of the fire and the a week after that. And that then began the process of carrying out Kempo Karthram Rinpoche's wish, which was for us to rebuild. And of course, he had other bits of advice for us over time. I was I visited him some months later after he had gone to India to be honored by the 17th Karmapa for his long career as a Dharma master. I didn't get to go on the trip. I had a ticket, but could not go because I felt I needed to be here. And when he came back from there, I had a chance to speak with him, and he gave me some advice. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I would have given you a very large donation to get your rebuilding campaign started. He said, but I donated a lot of money when I went to India, he said, so I don't have money right now. But then he said, he actually gave us some more advice. He said, meet people in your community and make friends. And so that was his second piece of advice, was meet people in your community and make friends. So that's what we spent the next few months doing. We met with local developers, and we met with local charitable organizations to learn about what it takes to raise money, and what type of money is maybe available. We met with the representatives of foundations, family foundations, local foundations. We met all kinds of people in that effort. And Rinpoche said we should meet people in the community and make friends. And one of the people we met was the pastor of the Trinity Episcopal Church in downtown Columbus, Dick Burnett. He's since retired and is now the pastor emeritus. But at that time, he said that if we needed space, that we could use their space at Trinity. Well, what we ended up doing was we ended up saying, well, you know, it's really great, but we have this fantastic space at Tiferet Israel where we were able to meet every week, every Sunday, because the temple did not need the lower social hall space on Sundays. So we were able to occupy that space for about 5 years. And so we were okay for our Sunday programs and our Tuesday programs. But in order to meet new people, we said, well, Dick, we have this idea of maybe doing a midday meditation at 12 noon every week and inviting people who work downtown to come and meditate with us. And he loved the idea, and he spoke to his vestry board and got permission. And we started midday meditation in Central Ohio and in downtown Columbus. And we had a few news stories written about us. And Eric Weinberg and John Ciccona are now shepherding that program on Zoom. So ever since that time, we tried our best to do what Rinpoche asked and make friends and meet people in the community. And in the end, we also decided to make connections in our own Franklinton neighborhood community. And we had a reception to show the plans for our building to some of the business people, and we attracted some donations from the business people in Franklinton. So folks even in our own neighborhood were out there trying to support us. And so we were able to carry out Kemper Rinpoche's next advice, which was to make friends and with people in the community. So Kemper Rinpoche also had some ideas about the building. He liked the location, which our location on the corner of Rich and Grub Street in Franklinton is approximately 1.5 miles from the center of town, the center of Broad and High, the main intersection in downtown Columbus, Ohio. We're very close to the downtown. And it was really, really great to have have such a great location. And he suggested that we stay there. And then he had this other piece of advice, and that was that we should make the next one larger. In other words, that if we were going to rebuild our building, we should make the next building larger than the last one. So that was his next piece of advice, was to make the next one bigger. Lucky for us, there was an architect friend of ours in Wisconsin named Keith. And I called him up a week after the fire and I said, are you busy? And he said, at the moment I'm between assignments. And so he was able to do a couple of exercises on paper for us to show how we could make a larger building on that site. And it was his basic gift of his services in those early weeks that allowed us to get one step closer to an idea for our new building and how we could possibly rebuild. All of those things that happened in the first couple of years after the fire. And so that we were on this journey of sort of wandering, going from place to place. And on when we wanted to do Saturday programs, we had to rent additional space because we couldn't be in the synagogue. So the wonderful folks at Ohio Dominican University rented us their space on for Saturday programs. And we did all kinds of programs. And we even did our annual fall retreat at Glen Helen. And we kept things moving. We wandered from place to place and met people everywhere we went. So we were in essence carrying out all of Rinpoche's wishes right away from the very beginning. And then I think that Kempo Rinpoche himself was very dedicated to this space. And in 2018, we knew that the Karmapa was coming to visit the United States. And we asked for permission to see His Holiness the 17th Karmapa and get a blessing for our project. And he gave us a blessing for our project. And we were allowed to be the only fundraising group that was at his event at Riverside Church in New York City. And we met lots of people on that event and during that event who also were inspired by our story and gave us money. So all through this time, we were working in the background with Keith and then eventually with our new architect, Pete. And between the two of them, we had a great design for a building that we were then able to fundraise for. So it took a long time to raise all of that money. But and of course, every time we would raise money, then because it took time to raise that money, the price would go up. So we were chasing the number, as we would say. We chased that number for several years until we decided, you know, let's just build it. So we hired, took bids and hired a company, and we started construction in September of 2020. No time like the pandemic to start your project. It took a little bit longer because of the pandemic, but now it is virtually completed. And so I guess you could say that the wandering we did during that 6-year period was a fruitful wandering. That's why I decided to call the talk today, "Not All Wanderers Are Lost." That's a quotation, those of you who know it, from Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. So what do you think, whatever you may think of the wandering we have done over the last 6 years, it's actually taught us a lot. And one of the things I think that it has taught us is to be involved. We really need to be involved in our community. We need to be part of the Central Ohio faith community. And that's one of the things that I think was a good outcome of our wandering years is that we became more involved. We started visiting the local Board of Trade meetings. We got involved in the Franklinton Board of Trade. We got involved with the Franklinton nonprofit collaborative group. We met folks at COSI and participated in the Science Festival with a project, with a program on mindfulness and the brain. We were being seen in places we had never been seen in before. We did our best to continue to raise awareness of the Y Family Shelter, where we were often in previous to the fire years volunteering to make meals there. And we still raised food donations for the Holy Family Food Pantry just down the street from our now burned out building. And we really did our best to be involved and stay involved in our local community to let people know that we were there and that we wanted to be part of things. And that's even continuing today because our associate resident teacher, Lama Adam Berner, has been doing some work with the city safety department, and we'll be talking more about that as time goes along, trying to encourage our safety forces to take advantage of classes on mindfulness and to learn how to work with others through the practice of mindfulness and awareness. And so we're doing our best to be a positive force in our community. So I think that was one of the things that that we learned from these 6 years of wandering. I think the other one, another one is to be flexible. Because when you have an idea about how things are supposed to go, sometimes the things that you want to have happen won't happen the way you want them to happen, but the way they do happen is not entirely bad. So I think that was the other thing that I learned and that we all learned was to be flexible. If a building wasn't available, okay, we go somewhere else. Or if this wasn't happening, okay, we'll do something else. And so we learned how to be flexible. And like, we didn't get that donation, okay, we'll ask somebody else. And so over time, we learned a lot about what it takes to encourage people to be generous. And I think that as I look back and see that how it was that we raised $3 million to build this new building, I think it comes down to these things, to be involved in the community, to be flexible in, and to be loving and kind to ourselves and to each other. And I'm going to say there's one other skill. This is going to sound like this is a bad grammar, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do community. we have to be a community of people of faith, and we have to find ways to communicate with each other and to care for each other. And this is something we all needed to learn as we had to do all of the things that needed to be done to raise the money and to deal with all of the reversals and the ups and downs that occur when you're going to city officials to ask for zoning permissions to do things that aren't in the zoning code. And to do community for us meant that we needed to find new ways to communicate with each other and new ways to be with one another. And I feel as though we were really successful in some ways, not all ways, but we did our best. We made mistakes and we fell flat on our face there were times when it was just really, really tough to do community and we just didn't do it right. But in the end, we kept trying to improve. And now, while we were in our wandering years, we created a value statement and a mission statement. And we have not yet come to full fruition on our value statement, but that's okay. We're a work in progress and we continue to want to do better. In fact, after the summer of 2020, all of us became aware of inequities in the community, and we started an inclusion and engagement group that is now working to help all of us understand what diversity really means and how to do community around diversity and inclusion. So again, so much we learned during this period and so much more to learn coming to the future. But there's when we look back and we see how everything came together for us slowly and gradually. One of the topics that came up time and time again on the part of everyone working on the project was faith. Some folks had a hard time having the confidence that Kemp Rinpoche's wishes could be fulfilled. And this is understandable because it's a huge loss. Huge loss. And many churches who have losses like this cease to exist. And so in some ways, it was a very frightening time. Were we going to be able to exist? Were we going to be able to continue to serve our community? And I was asked more than once, well, like, how do you know that we can do what Rinpoche has asked? And the answer to that is, I don't know. I just have watched him. I watched him for 40 years, just doing impossible things. One example was told to me by Michael Duran, the previous member of Columbus KTC, who went on to be KTD's corporate secretary for 17 years. He told the story of once when a group at KTD was debating, and I mean actively debating, about whether or not to build new housing for the resident volunteers, that Rinpoche got up from the meeting and walked out the door and started walking in the yard at KTD. And by the time he had finished his walk, he had outlined the new addition to KTD that was built several years later. And so rather than spend his time on debate, he decided he wanted to fulfill the wishes of the 16th Karmapa, who had drawn just such a building for KTD Monastery. And his idea was that this was the time and this was the place and this was the plan. And so how did he have the confidence to get up from that meeting and walk around and tell his folks, we're going to build this addition, which, by the way, later costs more than $9 million. It was a really, really giant project. But he was able to instill confidence in the donors, and he was able to instill confidence in the members of the centers to help to build this addition. And now KTD has a beautiful residence that will be used by volunteers and monastics for years and years and years to come. And so I guess where the faith came from was knowing that Rinpoche had this dedication to his teacher, and couldn't we all try to have some of that same confidence? And so what happened was, over time, people got the confidence. The confidence came to them. It was almost like magic. People who had been uncertain, they developed gradually the seed of confidence that they could raise the money, that we could do this amazing thing. And as they raised their confidence, people around them raised their confidence. And as the confidence of the entire community was being raised, the confidence was being raised, then the money really started to appear in a serious way. Kemp Rinpoche himself donated more than $50,000 to the cause, and donated many of his own personal treasures and artifacts to be auctioned among the various communities in order to raise money for Columbus KTC. If you've seen our Facebook page in the last couple of days, you'll see that we unearthed a video from that time where he was telling people that it was a worthwhile cause to give to Columbus KTC. And I think that his confidence in us is what helped us have confidence in ourselves. Because if we look at what Kemp Rinpoche did in the United States from the time he arrived in 1976 until he passed away in 2019, he was all about trying to empower us as Westerners to take and hold the Dharma as our own, and to practice in ways that would bring benefit to ourselves and our entire community. He had faith in us, and I think that that faith rubbed off on us, and that gradually allowed us to do what we did in order to accomplish his wish. Now we're standing at the threshold of our new building, and we'll be in it sometime in the next few months. And so during this 6 years of wandering, I think we've learned a lot about resiliency and kindness as a community, and how to pick ourselves up after we make mistakes, and how to just continue to strive to be better and do better. So that was what I wanted to talk about today. But there are other things that I can mention, which is that it seemed to me as I was sketching out this talk that there was something about this talk that could be applied to our, I guess you could say, our Dharma career. When we think about that last topic, faith, and the fact that Rinpoche had faith in us and that allowed us to have faith in ourselves, it makes me think about the faith that's required for us to actually walk on the Dharma path ourselves. Sometimes when we first hear about Buddhism or see an image of the Buddha sitting placidly in meditation, we think about that and say, wow, that must be really something to be an enlightened being, to be an awakened person. What that must really be something. And we have a little bit of a little leap of inspiration inside of us. And so we practice meditation and we learn it. And if we're lucky, we meet human beings who can teach us and tell us what to look out for, how to do the practice and how to correct mistakes and so on. And then over time, we get confidence in our ability to sit. We get confidence in our ability to just be on our cushion. And that confidence then begins to seep out into our everyday life. And other people become aware of it, and they start to ask us questions like, something's different about you. What wonder what it could be? And Kempo Karthar Rinpoche said that when somebody asks you that question, he said, you don't have to go into a big lecture about Buddhism. You can just say something simple like, maybe it's because I meditate. In any case, it created a lot of conversations. It creates a lot of conversations when we first start meditating and people begin to notice something different about us. And additionally, it's not just about meditation, though, is it? It's about the confidence that we can change our lives for the better. That's the first kind of confidence, I think, for many people is the confidence that they can actually take hold of the practice of meditation and practice it for themselves. But there's also what comes after meditation, which is the confidence that we can actually begin to change our minds, and by changing our minds, change our lives. And for example, when we first sit in meditation and we have to struggle with all those thoughts that cross the screen of our mind, at first those thoughts always distract us, but then we have to undertake that practice of noticing the thought, labeling it thinking, letting it go, and then returning to the breath for a fresh start. And by doing that again and again and again, we gain the capacity to notice our thoughts and notice our feelings and notice our emotions. And at first it's a little overwhelming. It's like new stimuli that we weren't used to having and new input we weren't used to having. We weren't used to having to face the fact that we feel like this or act like that. And it's a little shocking, perhaps at first, to realize that we have resentments, or perhaps that we feel sad, or that we feel disappointed. It's a little bit hard to come to accept that, but what we do then is we continue to practice meditation. And by continuing to practice meditation, we get some confidence in our own ability to let go of thoughts. And when we see that we can let go of thoughts, even if we can just let go of one thought and then return to the technique of watching the breath, the confidence that comes from this it's small at first, but it has an enormous impact, because it makes it possible for us to recognize that our experience is made up of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and that we can slowly get hold of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions and change them for the better. We can, instead of getting angry, we can recite mantras or take deep breaths, or do the mind training practice of exchanging oneself for others, sending out goodness on our out-breath and removing suffering on the in-breath, and doing these kinds of transformative practices. And when we can begin to do these kinds of transformative practices, then we can actually see in real time, we can see our emotions change. We can see something that was once oppressing us begin to let go. And the confidence we get from that's enormous. And so the wandering of the last 6 years to me is sort of analogous with our wandering through the practice of Dharma. We start with all of these great ideas, and then gradually over time, we learn the methods to make those ideas come true for us. And deep inside us, there is Buddha nature, always ready to come out, always ready to show itself. This is one of the basic teachings of the Buddha, that we all have Buddha nature. We all have a mind that has the capacity to know itself and to know itself completely and to transform itself from a state of confusion to a state of clarity and wisdom. I remember when Kempo Karthar Rinpoche first started teaching us, and he would come to Columbus, Ohio and give us these talks, he would almost always start his very early talks. He would start with the idea that all of us are here for a reason. We have karma with each other. We have karma with this practice. We have a lot of good karma that brought us into contact with each other and brought us into contact with these teachings. And don't we owe it to ourselves to explore these teachings and explore these practices in order to fulfill this goodness that is within us? And it still touches me today to think that, to remember when he first told us that in a talk, he said, everyone has Buddha nature. He said, everyone has a capacity for well-being and peace that is beyond worldly comfort and well-being. And he said, if only you knew who you really were, and if only you knew what you were capable of, you would be astounded and amazed. And that stuck with me for a long time. And again, he had confidence in us before we could have confidence in ourselves. And that's how our Dharma practice works. We see the example, we see the teachers, we see the lamas, we see the gurus, and we look at their example. We maybe read about their amazing lives and their amazing practice. And we say, well, that's wonderful, but maybe I can't do that. But gradually through our own practice, even through simple practices like breath awareness meditation, sending and receiving practice, that the practice of exchanging oneself for others, these simple practices, we can actually see changes happening in our mind and life moment to moment to moment. And that is where we begin to get the confidence that the teacher has in us. We begin to have that confidence in ourselves. And I think that's, to my mind, the greatest gift of these last 6 years, was to see how Kempo Karthar Rinpoche's confidence in us translated into confidence in ourselves and confidence in the goodness, the basic goodness of this project, the fact that we could build this place. That reminds me, one of the other things that Rinpoche said was, build it to last 100 years. That was his other comment to us, build it to last 100 years. In other words, don't build it cheaply, build it well, solidly. And I feel like we've done that to the best of our capacity with the money that was available to us. But the idea of being able to do that, he put it in our mind that this building could last 100 years, that it would be a benefit of every single person who saw it. It would be of benefit and upliftment to everyone. And if you think about it, that's really going to be true. Those of you who drive along our Columbus West Side Highway, which we know is Ohio Route 315. It's a divided highway that is essentially a connector highway between Interstate 71 going north and Interstate 71 going south. And so people commute on that route every single day. And every single day, as they did in the past, they will be able to see the Namchen banner of the 16th Karmapa, which is popularly called the Dream Flag, that was flying above our center for years, They'll be able to see that and see the beautiful blue and yellow banner that His Holiness Karmapa said would bless every single person who saw it. And they'll also be able to see the Serto, which is a beautiful spire that has a longevity vase in the center of it, which we are able to put on top of our building because we have a traditional set of pillars and beams in our shrine room that tell the story of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Noble Path. And because these external things will be visible, the dream flag, the Serto, the 3 15-foot prayer flags that the city of Columbus allowed us to put on the back of our property. So people going northbound and southbound will see the Serto and the dream flag, but people going northbound will be able to see those 15-foot prayer flags. But what it is that everyone who sees it will benefit. They will have, they will be touched to their core. Their Buddha nature will be ignited or enacted or activated. It's a type of resonance. When we are in sacred environments or see sacred images, I feel like it's a resonance because we have Buddha nature, and these images and statues also evoke and illustrate the accomplishment of Buddhahood. And because we have Buddha nature and these examples of accomplishment of Buddhahood are essentially of the same type, it's like a tuning fork. You know, when they're tuning pianos or musical instruments, you have two tuning forks that are tuned to the same note. You strike one, and then all you have to do is hold it next to the other one. You don't even have to touch. That's physics. And you get sympathetic vibration. So this is why I think that this center will have an incredible impact on everyone who sees it, hears about it, or visits it. We're going to have the full set of Kangyur, which is the full set of Buddhist scriptures, the words of the Buddha. We're going to have a full set of scriptures. We're going to have beautiful statuary. It's really going to be an amazing building that people can go into and bless with their own practice. So I guess that's all I wanted to talk about today. But if anybody has questions or curiosities, you can put them in the chat, either on YouTube or on Facebook, and I'll do my best to answer them. And then I'm going to spend the next few minutes telling you a little bit about what's going to be happening this week. This week is Tibetan New Year, and as we explained in our newsletter last week, there are two Tibetan calendar systems, and our system is the Surluk system, which was created by the third Karmapa, Rangjin Dorje, and so for us, Tibetan New Year will be on Wednesday, February the 2nd. And so we'll be still be on Zoom for right now because we do not fully have the building ready for everyone yet. We still have to add some furniture, and we also have to add some equipment and things like that. We will hope to have some soft opening events in the month of March. So watch the Columbus KTC Facebook page and newsletter for details about those. But this week, on Monday evening, we're going to do the sadhana, or the prayer chant of green Tara. Tara is renowned as removing obstacles and obscurations. And so we'll be reciting the green Tara sadhana on Monday night at 7 p.m. on our Zoom channel. And then also on Tuesday night, we will be doing a smoke offering practice where we, I guess you could say, we welcome the new year in and feed all the positive energies of the year. And that will start at 6:30 p.m. on our Zoom channel. And then at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night, we will be reciting the Chenrezig sadhana as we do every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., also on Zoom. Then on Wednesday morning, we will be able to, on Wednesday morning, we'll be giving our annual prayers for Losar or the new year. And so those will start also on our Zoom channel. So I think we're starting at 9, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong. And if anybody out there knows that it's at 10 and not 9, go ahead and put it in chat. But I believe it'll be 9 a.m. on our Zoom channel. And for right now, our medical advisors are advising us to do all chant practices on virtual methods for now, since the coronavirus is spread, especially through the droplets, the aerosol droplets that come from singing and chanting. So we're going to continue to be virtual for those, but we hope to start meeting again in March on Sundays, I think near the end of March. So again, watch the Columbus KTC Facebook page and website for exact details and how to sign up, because we will be encouraging people to register. There'll be soft opening events happening throughout the month of March, and at the end of March, we'll open for Sunday programs. So like I say, check out the Facebook page and so on for those details. Okay, let's see. Let's check out the chat and see if there are any questions. Hello and good morning. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tom from Chicago and Caitlin from Ann Arbor. Thank you so much. And then someone's asking about the Sangha meeting. Yeah, the reopening information was announced during the Sangha meeting this past week on our Zoom channel. And it will be put out in newsletter in detail. So if you, all the details will be in the newsletter that will come out, I think, Tuesday morning. So you'll be able to see all of the details on Tuesday morning. So we'll have all those for you at that time. Okay. Good. Thank you, Caitlin. I thought the Losar prayers were going to be 9 a.m. on Wednesday. So thanks very much. Not seeing other questions in the chat. I'm thinking that this might be a really good time for us to do a short meditation together. It just so happens that I led the Chenrezig Sadhana this morning over on our Zoom channel at 10, and so I have all of my equipment still with me. And we're just going to do a very, very brief meditation. And for this meditation, I just want everybody to reflect on the confidence that our teachers have in us and how their confidence in us allows us to see the goodness in ourselves and allows us to see the potential for change and the gratitude that we feel for all of those spiritual folks in our lives who have given us instructions, whether they were formal teachers or just our family members reminding us to go sit and meditate. Let's just sit quietly for a moment and experience that feeling of gratitude for all of those beings who, as Mr. Rogers says, have loved us into being. Wow. I'm just really pleased and delighted that we were able to get together today on Facebook and YouTube to talk about the Columbus KTC's project, and also the project of our own attempts to find and live out of our Buddha nature. Anytime that you hear about good things being done, if you hear about people doing wonderful things and you're inspired by those wonderful things, it's a really good thing that you can do at that moment. You can rejoice in the goodness of others, and you can rejoice in the merit that others are accumulating. We don't need to feel bad that we can't attend this retreat or go to that program or any of that sort of thing. We can actually accumulate great merit just by rejoicing in what others have done and are doing. And so we'll do a little bit of that rejoicing right now, and I'll recite a dedication of merit prayer. And if you have, by the way, if you have additional questions or anything you want to ask, I'm going to stay behind on Facebook. Unfortunately, they won't let me stay behind on YouTube to answer questions. But if you have questions, you can put them in chat, and I'll stay after to answer some questions in the chat. So we gather together all of the goodness that has been accumulated in the past, and we're accumulating in the future, in the present, and will accumulate in the future. We dedicate all of us, all of it, to all beings discovering or hearing about their Buddha nature, meeting great teachers, and coming into their own as practitioners of Dharma. Here's a short prayer. Through this merit, may all achieve the omniscience of Buddhahood. May it defeat our common enemy, wrongdoing, from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may we free all beings. May we free all beings. May we free all beings. Thanks, everyone. Wonderful to see you today, and looking forward to seeing you on our Zoom channels this week, and hopefully in person at the KTC in the month of March. So please take care, everyone. Om mani padme hum.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling, or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.